Just Goal With It is a podcast hosted by two millennials who swear. And also, it's about horror films, so listener discretion is advised. We will put specific content warnings in the show notes.
Boo! I'm not!
She lies!
My waveform was so big. I just went, I'm not!
So loud. But it's there.
But it's there.
Speaking of things being there, this movie exists.
It's like I did the bare minimum and you called me out immediately. Speaking of anything...
existence. Movies happen.
I don't want to do it anymore.
I'm actually done.
All right, I'm gonna head out. I'm gonna go. All right, do you want to hear the movie or not?
I do.
Okay, well, speaking of being there, this movie is also in existence and it's called As Above, So Below. It's a patron pick. I couldn't even look at you for so long just now because I was laughing and I was like, I can't look at her.
See, there actually was a really good segue that
no.
You could have been going that direction and I may have mocked you mercilessly for nothing. But speaking of things that are there, the tunnel that shouldn't have been there, but it was.
Oh, I was just, I'm glad you thought of that because I was going to go, the stone.
It's a rock.
It's a rock. I was going to call it a rock as well, so... Nailed it. I bet you're all wondering what this movie's about. Tunnels and rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called As Above, So Below. It's a patron pick. Thank you, patron.
Yes.
This movie's actually the one that we did our, what do you call it? The teaser?
Teaser trailer?
Yeah, it's like the very first thing we ever released. Mm-hmm. So though anything, if you listen to our little teaser at the very beginning and you hear us making comments about the movie,
yeah,
that's this movie.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it since then.
Same.
And when I watched it that time, I was, remember when at my old place, and I was just in that little closet, the whole thing in that closet, just, and with my microphone, just talking. So, you know, this watch was better.
Yeah. Slightly more space.
It had so much more space. Yeah, more I got airflow. To sit on the couch. It was amazing. More airflow. I probably was thriving.
God, those closets get so hot.
It was so hot. I had the door cracked a little, but I was still just hot and bothered. As they say.
And that's what they mean, too,
and that's
when
they
say
mean.
It. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Are you ready for some facts?
Yes, please.
Some good wine ASMR. You said you were going to pour one into the glass and then drink it out of the can. No, it's too late.
It's too late.
Dripping.
I don't know what you're talking about.
She's dripping.
She's unwell.
You think you're too good for the can?
I'm certainly not.
Cheers. Drinking wine out of a can. Call that a wine break. All right, As Above, So Below. All right, it was made in 2014.
Mm.
I feel like that checks out immediately by the way they talk and the way they dress. I was like,
the,
you guys got...
T-shirt, long sleeve shirt. I was like, oh, that's a very specific era.
The, like, long off-the-shoulders T-shirt that's basically see-through.
Yeah.
I was like, I know you guys. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, made in 2014. These are some names I'm going to hopefully be fine with. It was directed and written by John Eric Dowdle.
Sure.
Also was co-written by his brother Drew Dowdle, but I couldn't find anything. Dowdle. I doubtle that's true. That wasn't great.
I like to know.
I couldn't find much about his brother. They wrote a few other things together, mm-hmm. but mostly it was like John that did it. So John Eric Dowdle also did Full Moon Rising. Sorry, that's a full title. The Dry Spell, Quarantine, Devil, and No Escape.
So he sinned when he did a shot-for-shot remake of Wreck. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool, good to know.
Yeah, so a little sinner, as we say. Good for him.
Yeah.
Cinematography was Leo Hinton.
Cinematography?
Cinematography. This person might be free of sin. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Leo Hinton. Cool. Couldn't find a ton. It just said No Escape and Nocturama.
Huh.
I am not sure, but the cinematography was interesting and really cool. But it's hard when it's found footage because, like, a lot of it is coming from, you know, I feel like it's got to be harder for the cinematographer, but also harder to, like, put your style into it because you're like, well, they're filming, you know.
There are a lot of points where the camera's on the ground or it's like there is like some reason for the camera to be in the place it is. And I think in those moments, it's like, hey, what if it's upside down? So that when they're crawling and like
and gravity I love that. Reverses. And I think that that's interesting. And it's also hard, I'm sure, because there are things that you want the audience to see, but you need there to be a reason for people to look there. So I'm like, I'm sure a cinematographer on a found footage is fucking hard. Yeah. It has to be. I don't know. That's my thought. But it only has the two credits. Okay. Music was Kifis Ciancia.
Sure.
Sure. did True Detective, Killing Eve, London Spy, The Fall, and Spider-Man 2.
Shit, okay.
Yeah. The music, the person who did the music seemed to have the most, like, credits kind of up to date sort of thing, too. Like, more, less early 2000s and more, like, now. I don't want to say early 2000s. Yeah. I guess it's more mid 2000s, but
I don't remember any music that wasn't diegetic.
I think there's only like one or two times where it happens, and it's so faint that I'm like, it's barely music. And then there's the chanting as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know how much they did really, but there's only a few times.
I am positive that I missed a lot of things. I'm just like, wow, it blended so seamlessly, I didn't see.
I only remembered the one time because I specifically was like, well, that's not... I was like, that's a soundtrack part, sort of. And it's so short. It doesn't happen for very long.
And there's also like instances of madness.
Yes.
So I feel like it could be used then.
I think that's... I'm guessing that's it. It was a lot of times where it was like near the end, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, the budget. This is one of those times where it gives me the two, and I'm guessing it has to do with like the...
Marketing,
like, because it says 5 to 10 million. So let's say 10 million to just stick with the higher end.
Okay.
And if that includes budget, or I mean marketing, how much do you think it made?
Okay.
I'm going to guess this is worldwide as well, so I'll tell you that.
Okay. So I try to scroll past numbers as quickly as I can, but I accidentally saw two numbers, and I don't know what they were. I just saw numbers. One of them was 8 million.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it made?
No.
Okay.
You're being really mean. I'll say that.
Oh, 20 million.
Okay. It's not bad. I mean, you could be nicer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I know.
30 million.
You could be even nicer.
What?
I know it! It's 41.9 million.
I am so used to being too nice.
I read the budget and I was like, or not the budget, how much it made. And I was like, are you sure? I wonder if that, because sometimes we get into the issue with like, sometimes it'll include rentals too.
Yeah.
And it didn't say. It didn't say if it was like, it just said worldwide. And I was like, well, that could be like worldwide release, but also, I don't know. But people liked it.
Rentals were on the decline in the 10s. So
and
like,
that's why I'm like, I think it's probably theater. I don't know.
Wild. Okay.
But
because it wasn't a critical darling.
No. And like, I looked at the reviews, not reviews, but you know how it pops up when you're going to rent something and it'll be like, oh, it has this much on Rotten Tomatoes. So I like looked at that and I was like, oh, it's not great. But I don't dislike it.
No.
What are you looking at?
I'm not.
You're not?
No, I was looking at you.
You weren't.
I sniffed and I was thinking about how unpleasant that would be on the audio, and I might have like zoned, but I was still looking at you.
I thought you were looking over here and I was like, your bird?
No.
I just assumed.
If there was a crow, everything would have stopped.
I'm sorry.
You know this about
me. I'm sorry I called you out. I should have known your crow habits.
Of all of the times that I've been like, what do you need? And you're just like, I'm just leaning away. I'm just like, what do you want?
It happens so much because I always do the weirdest shit and I get as far away from I go, 4K is like, why are you doing that? I'm like, why do you ask? I'm just simply breathing.
Yeah. I'm being totally normal over
this
here.
This is
what
just where I take a sip. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really put you through the ringer on that, and I'm sorry.
It's okay. I was like, are you gaslighting me?
I don't know. I think I'm gaslighting myself, maybe. Would you like a few little fun facts? You might already know them because I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
But shut up.
Just deal with it. Shut up.
So the film was actually shot in the catacombs.
Oh, I was wondering if it was.
Okay, good. So it's not what you're going to talk about. So this was the very first film to get permission to shoot in like the off-limits area of the catacombs.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Super cool. Very little use of props as well because they wanted the actors to specifically interact with like their environment more than anything else. So there's not a lot in their hands.
Yeah.
It's also interesting because one of the entrances to the tunnels that they had to film in was just in the parking lot of a hospital. So
Oh my God.
So they would go in their trailers and they would get all bloodied up, right? And then they would just wander around this hospital parking lot and they'd be like, oh, look, you know, there's doctors right there. And the doctors are probably like, should I help? And it was just so interesting. And one of the characters, they asked everybody, like, are you claustrophobic, like, before we start filming this? Mm-hmm. And everyone said no. So they were like, well, we're going to do a costume test, like a wardrobe test underground to make sure, one, we can see everything. And we want to make sure the crew is okay down there and the actors. So they did like a test with wardrobe, everything down there. And only one character was like, like not doing great.
Oh, no.
So they just changed the script and they were like, and your character is claustrophobic now.
Amazing.
They won't say which character, but you want to take George. A guess? Yeah, I was like, it's either George or Benji. Benji.
Yeah. They both had bad times.
I think it's Benji. Has to be my guess, but I don't know. But yeah, they said that it was just really weird being underground for so long because you would go underground for the entire day to shoot. And you'd like take breaks, but like you'd be down there for the most part the whole day. So the director was like, when you would leave, you'd be out in like a June day in Paris. And he's like, we all hated the sun by the end. He's like, you'd go out there and be like, he specifically said we all felt like mole people. Because he's like, we'd leave and be like, oh, it's way too bright.
Yeah.
Wow. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that it was shot in the catacombs. Specifically, I wrote that I was impressed with the set design. And I was like, wow, it's really cool. Even Elle Marie kept making comments like, oh, that's really cool that they made that set piece. Like, it has to be foam, right? Because they lift it up. And like, that's so cool. And how'd they do that? They didn't. They just simply went in the catacombs.
Holy shit, tits. Amazing.
How many of those skulls do you think? I mean, they had to be.
Yeah.
The skulls on the walls, at least, had to be real because that's how the catacombs are.
Yeah.
So when they're on that tour at the very beginning.
The official tour,
has to be.
Now I'm thinking about, okay, the bone tunnel that they crawl through. That had to be fake, right?
I would hope.
One would hope.
I unfortunately did not find info on the bones, but I looked to be like, were those made? It's a lot of bones to make.
It's a lot of bones.
I don't know.
I trust nothing after Poltergeist, you know?
I trust nothing. I was just going to say that. I was like, after the pool and Poltergeist, I just don't know.
No.
So that those are my, like, fun facts. I thought that was really neat. Yeah. I didn't know that. And then I was trying to be chill when I was reading it at your kitchen table, being like, oh.
Oh.
What the fuck? Yeah. And now I have to sum it up. And this movie, I don't know. A girl tries to continue her father's work. She does. I mean, I don't know. I didn't want to give anything away.
Yeah. The decade-old movie. Leave them wanting more.
And she does.
Yeah, sure does.
But at what cost?
At what cost?
So put that at the end. We call that a button in the industry. We put a button on it.
Okay.
So...
beautiful.
Thanks. What do they have to say?
So IMDb does not do nearly as well as you. Rotten Tomatoes has more to say. But I think it hits the same, like, emotional points that yours does.
I panicked. Okay.
IMDb. Because I'm starting here. When a team of explorers venture into the catacombs that lie beneath the streets of Paris, they uncover the dark secret that lies within the city of the dead.
Yeah, okay. Fair.
It's
so
fine.
So good.
And it feels like the dark secret is more, like... of the tunnels
and we made along the way.
Yeah. The Dark Seeker is, you know, the friends you made along the way. Or
Am I the Dark Seeker?
We'll get to it.
Yeah, I was like, you already know it.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes, however, gets a little bit more detailed.
Give it to me.
Archaeologist Scarlett Marlowe has devoted her whole life to finding one of history's greatest treasures, Flamel's Philosopher's Stone.
Mm-hmm.
According to legend, the artifact can grant eternal life and turn any metal into gold. When she learns that the stone is hidden underground in the catacombs of Paris, she assembles a crew to guide and document her historic mission. As they begin their descent, the team members have no way of knowing that they are entering their own personal hell.
I mean, it's kind of everyone's hell. You just have to get there.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that it's like, she assembles a crew. And I'm like, she kind of just stumbles onto people.
She found a guy in a club. Like,
and then all the people go, I guess I'll go. Like, a lot of them didn't want to go.
No.
By like, 10 minutes in, they're all actively fighting her, going, please don't make us do this. And she's like, the stone!
And she's like, oh, Benji, I'm so sorry. George, I'm so sorry.
She's really just like, I'm sorry. And everyone's like, I don't really want to hear it.
I was livid with Scarlett over her treatment of George.
It pissed me off. I'm sorry I left you in that Turkish prison. Do you want to help me? And he's like, no. And she goes, you will. Like, what a shit.
And every single time, he's like, you know I don't do caves. And she's like, yes, your tragedy as a child when your brother died and you were traumatized. Okay, but you're going. Fuck. And everyone's like, oh, you're coming. He's like, I'm not coming. She's like, no, he is. And I'm like, you really don't give a shit about his trauma, do you?
Not only that, but from the very beginning, she's a shit. Because, like, there's the guy that's, like, helping Lisa. Her. Yeah. And she's like, just a few more minutes. I know we're about to die, but, like, can you chill? And he's like, I have a family. And she's like, okay. Like, she really does not care. I guess that's the whole point, is that she's hungry for knowledge and artifacts. So, good for her. Yeah. So, yeah.
What do you think Nerd Corner is?
I don't fucking know. Listen, I had a guess that was completely off the wall, and I thought, I'm going to stick with that guess, so that way if I'm right, you'll be impressed.
Yeah.
And if I'm wrong, mind your business.
This is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be the history of, like, alchemy, because I just, it's something that I was like, I don't really understand.
That would be fun.
But they talk about it so much. So yeah. I was like, well, maybe it's, like, alchemy, so I can understand what that has to do in relation to hell, you know?
Yeah.
Instead, is it caves?
No.
Shit. All right. What is it?
I guess you'll find out.
Now?
Now.
Okay. I was like, how long?
Do you know how old the catacombs are?
Really, really old.
They are much younger than I thought.
No. No. Sorry. I don't know why I just had a crisis.
You're like, oh, no.
I also. Picturing them as young made me mad. That's a lot of dead people. What?
I haven't seen that much alarm.
I know. I'm sorry. I don't know.
No.
It like pulled something out of me. I was like, yeah, they're really old. And as soon as you said they weren't, I was like, we have to fight Kate. I don't know what happened.
And if not Kate, Father Time himself.
I will do what I have to do. How old are they? Don't say. Let me guess.
Okay.
It's like, have you ever, I know you haven't seen it because you don't watch like New Girl or anything,
no.
But there's a part, and listen, this makes sense in a minute. There's a part where he goes, I've never seen my best friend's penis, and how could that be? Everyone else has seen it but me. And he's like, just tell me when to stop.
No.
Seriously. Are you kidding me? No.
No, I'm starting again.
That's going to be me with this time right now.
And just remember that I'm bad at time.
Okay.
So me thinking they were older than they are, that might not mean anything.
Okay, I'm going to start.
Okay.
And then we're going to go from there. 500 years.
Younger.
200.
Older.
250.
Younger.
300. Wait, sorry. Wait, 240.
240.
240.
238.
They're only 238?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, so I put this in my calculator to test it because I'm, again, not good at time.
500, so, I was being generous. Like, I was like, probably older than that, but I'll say 500.
Spry, 238 years young. Yeah. So, how did they come to be in the late 1700s?
I'd love to know.
I'm glad that you want to know because that's what we're going to talk about.
This is fucked up.
I know. I thought they were going to be like a millennia old.
I was like, probably like before time itself. Yeah.
Before the earth, there were the Paris catacombs. Before there was France, the Paris catacombs.
There's grandparents that are probably out there like, I remember when the catacombs were built.
I didn't agree with it, but the zoning board overrode me.
It's fucked up. All right.
Okay, so it was really cool to learn about it. And sorry, I'm like trying to think of even where to start. I have it written down, but I still got like in my head because I get too excited sometimes. It was even more than, like, we will put the bodies in the ground.
Yeah.
It also ties in epidemiology.
Ah. Well, okay. This makes sense. Okay, hold on. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready.
You're ready now.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we get to epidemiology.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about stone.
I love it. Limestone?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah.
I have to cough.
And that's okay.
So, like, think about limestone.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm taking it in.
I'm taking it in. So Paris sits on top of this apparently gorgeous type of limestone called Lutetian limestone.
Interesting.
And I was trying to Google how to say it, and AI is really doing a number because it'll basically just create a ton of dummy sites that are like populating the keywords you look over and over again, and say the same sentence on the entire fucking page. And it'd be like, you might be wondering how to say this, and we know how to pronounce it. I'm just like, tell me how to say it.
Tell me.
So I'm taking my best guess.
Yeah.
Lutetian limestone.
It's a beautiful name for a baby girl. It's really pretty. I love it.
Yeah. So it's described as warm, elusive, and cream gray. And I guess...
I wish that was me.
Right? I guess it's quite striking if stone is your thing.
Yeah.
The stone had been quarried since Roman times, so we're talking like extensive mining of this area.
Yeah.
And originally, it was more in the outer region of the city, on the outskirts, but as the city expands, there's only one way to go, and that's outward.
Yeah.
You might say go upward, but, you know, this is early Paris. Yeah. And so... as they move outward, parts of the city are being built directly over miles of tunnels from centuries of mining.
Right.
So maybe they weren't the best planners and they were just digging it up wherever they found it.
Yeah.
Maybe they're very much like me and Astroneer and they strand themselves in tunnels. I'm not making any judgments.
Just say it.
So the weight of the city continues pressing down until 1774. There's a massive sinkhole that opens up, pulls in people, carts, and buildings, dropping them 84 feet. Death and destruction abound.
Yeah, fair
enough.
So
that was in a movie and that was accurate.
Okay.
They then mentioned some other ones, so like specific locations. I'm like, I don't know if those were in those places, but it was not an isolated incident.
Okay.
Over the next several years, there were more sinkholes opening up in Paris, resulting in public outcry. And I think it's fair to say that the ground opening up without warning is pretty alarming, and it would cause a reasonable soul to panic.
You crazy.
You crazy. You wild,
you
Paris.
You wild, Paris.
So in 1777, King Louis... the 16th. Yeah. I have to tap my nose. I would have believed anything you said. I'm like, the 20th.
I'd be like, that's a lot of Louis.
So he creates a group of inspectors to map and maintain the quarries.
Mm-hmm.
Shore up tunnels, prevent the city from falling down into them. That's
fair.
But what are you going to take into miles of tunnels to provide that support? What material can fill that space? So.
Bones!
Bones!
Bone town, bone town!
Bone town, bone town!
I love it.
We used Bone Town last time, but Bone Town is a turtle, you know?
Bone Town always makes it in.
Yeah. Where there's a way, there's a Bone Town.
Where there's a way, there's a Bone Town.
Oh, no, there's a will.
No, where there's a way, there's a Bone Town.
We know what we're about.
We know what we're about.
So, at the same time, people weren't just fretting about being eaten by the earth. They were also overwhelmed by the stench of rotting corpses. Let's take it back a little to see how they got to that point. So, like the expanding city, building out as it grows, they didn't just need to find new places for people to live, they had to find places for people who died when there are more bodies moving around.
I love when a problem is a solution. I love that.
It's pretty ingenious.
Oh, God.
So, when there are more bodies moving around in the city, there will be more bodies that need to be laid to rest. During this time period, communal mass graves at a parish church were the typical after-death destination for your flesh prison.
Mm-hmm.
In order to accommodate the mass portion of the mass grave, these graves would be left open until it was full of the appropriate number of bodies, and then it would be covered up. After about 5 years, they'd open that back up, pull out the bones, relocate them to a charnel house.
Okay.
I was going to go into charnel houses, like, deep.
Is that burning? What is
no,
that?
No, it's just bones.
Oh, it's just bones.
Yeah. I have a video to show you.
Yeah.
It's Ask Mortician, Caitlin Doty.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Queen. And she talks about charnel houses,
okay.
It's really cool, like, really
neat.
There's a hiccup there.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Not describing the charnel houses, though. I need them to know.
It's so...
You know?
It you just guys get
has
it.
That should have said quite that. Okay, so charnel houses, it's more than a place to put bones, but for the time being, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I also want to point out a very important detail.
Mm-hmm.
It could take a while for this area to be considered full. So these remains would be decaying basically out in the open for months. Months.
Oh.
Decay doesn't smell great. And the flesh pile brings all the boys to the yard. So.
And by boys, what do you mean?
We mean bugs.
You mean bugs.
Yeah. I actually originally in my
boys
notes,
are
I,
bugs.
And by boys, I mean bugs. And I was like, nah, she gets it. I used to have like a remix of Milkshake in my head that was zombie themed.
Oh, good.
My flesh pal brings all the zombies to the yard, and they're like, it's fresher than yours.
Those bugs were like absolutely dancing on the grave. They were like, yeah.
Four legs in the air.
Absolutely.
Anyway, thank you for still being my friend.
Yeah.
So I keep flipping my hair like it's done something to me. Okay. Another fun fact is that these parish churchyards aren't exactly out in the middle of nowhere. Also, when I was writing parish churchyards, I was like, man, I want to play the parish level on Left 4 Dead. Right?
God, we got to play some Left 4 Dead.
We can do that.
I know.
Anyway, so they're not in the middle of nowhere. I hit my face. I gestured too strongly. So these churchyards are right up against market streets and homes. So you have decaying corpses just over the wall during the farmer's market. It's not just stench and pests. It's also fluids and matter. And it's not just above ground either. They are full to bursting into neighboring basements. Literally, though. We'll get into that in a moment. So the most famous of these was Holy Innocent Cemetery. It's estimated that by the mid-1700s, about 10% of Paris's deceased were buried there each year. Not just like all time. It was the most popular girl to dance. But each year, about 10% of the new corpses found their resting place in that ground. Lots of bodies.
Paris is fucked up.
Now let's talk about the bodies that are moving and grooving. So, direct quote. In 1780, a restaurateur living near the Cimetière des Innocents went to retrieve some bottles of wine from the cellar, whereupon the smell of putrescence overwhelmed him. He was to discover its horrifying source shortly. The walls of the mass grave adjacent to his house had burst open, sending forth a heap of neighboring corpses into his basement. So they'd had better days.
I hate it.
In the background of all of this, Paris falling into the earth, corpses bursting into basements, germ theory has not yet taken root. Public health hinges on the miasma theory of disease. I was stuck between miasma and miasma, and instead I said disease. So the miasma theory posits that bad air is the cause of illness. Put more eloquently, direct quote, this belief held that most, if not all, disease was caused by inhaling air that was infected through exposure to corrupting matter. Some examples of corrupting matter can be sewage, decaying corpses, rotting vegetation, and the exhalations of sick folks. So it's really easy to look back and be like, ha, the fools. But in their defense, correlation and causation are tricky bitches. And I'm trying to be more gentle and understanding. So here's a direct quote explaining why some held on to the theory of miasma over germ theory with a death grip. In the mid-19th century, the miasma theory competed with germ theory. So miasma is the concept that airborne vapors or miasmata cause most diseases. Germ theory is specific living microorganisms that cause specific diseases. Miasma theory was the basis for action by sanitary reformers. Miasma explained why cholera and other diseases were epidemic in places where the undrained sewage water was foul-smelling. Their endeavors led to improved sanitation systems, which resulted in decreased episodes of cholera. The miasma theory was consistent with the observations that disease was associated with poor sanitation and foul odors, and that sanitation improvements were successful in reducing disease. So they happened to be like, we're going to clean this up. If they had instead been like, we're going to plant more flowers, that would not have done the correlation because it's not actually improving sanitary efforts. It's just making it smell better and the bad air is not as potent. But in this case, they were like, this smells bad. We should get the bad smelling stuff out. And that happened to be the source of disease. Not the smell, but the matter. So I could talk for hours about cholera and germ theory and Dr. Jon Snow. I might at our next PowerPoint night. If people are okay with, you know, like explosive diarrhea and stuff.
Bring it on.
Not like as an activity, just as
Either way.
A topic.
That'd be fine.
But now is not that time. For that, if you want like a really fun dive into that. I highly recommend listening to This Podcast Will Kill You. It's an excellent epidemiology podcast. I made my partner listen to it on the drive to DC. We listened to the bats episode. Bats was ologies. We listened to the plague episodes. Of This Podcast Will Kill You. Anyway, miasma theory is running at the show in Paris right now. We have rotting corpses that are breaking and entering into the basements of nearby homes. Absolutely foul stenches coinciding with some public health concerns, and miles of tunnels that desperately need some sort of material to fill them to prevent the city from collapsing into the ground. So in 1785, under the cover of night, workers began relocating bodies from the overcrowded cemetery into the tunnels beneath the city, into the soon-to-be-consecrated Paris Municipal Ossuary. Bone house.
Yeah.
So this was the start of the Paris catacombs in 1785.
Oh my God.
Banana pants. Now, Paris had a bit of a rough period starting in 1789 when the French Revolution started.
Mm-hmm.
The official relocation of the bodies took a back seat, but as new bodies were being created rapidly, they were just put into the ossuary directly. No waiting period of 5 years in the soil, straight to the boneyard. So, poetically, the Paris catacombs can represent the ultimate equality, as there were no class distinctions in place beneath.
Just get in there.
No one got a headstone or marking of any kind, and people from all classes were plopped on in there.
Woo!
The rich had their eternal rest next to the poor. Nobility got nibbled on by the rats the same as peasants.
Love that.
Love it. We love it. So, during this period of time, the catacombs aren't exactly a tourist destination. They're a place to deposit dead bodies.
Yeah.
Usually bones, but sometimes just dead fucking bodies. It was utility, not art. However, there were some modifications made in the early 1800s.
Yeah.
So this is a direct quote from an article on JSTOR Daily. So although initially the tunnels were filled with disorganized piles of bones, in the early 1800s, Inspector Héricard de Thury?
Sure.
I didn't look at this name before I tried to say it. That's rough. Anyway, he led the arrangement of these remains into elaborate walls and other formations joined with masonry altars, columns, and plaques with quotations that evoked reflections on mortality.
Mm-hmm.
The catacombs opened by appointment to tourists in 1809, who descended the stairs into the underground illuminated by candles.
Hmm.
Today, visitors enter beneath the words, "Erret, c'est ici l'empire de la mort," or "Stop, this is the empire of death." So that was an accurate thing in the movie because they're like, ah, stop. So that's our quick and dirty on the construction and development of the Paris catacombs.
Interesting.
As an actual place to put bones and bodies.
Yeah.
The movement of bones to the ossuary and ossuary, ossuary, fuck if I know. Let's say ossuary. I like it.
Yeah.
Lots of S's. Sorry. That was so phlegmy. So the movement of bones to the ossuary ended in 1860.
Mm-hmm.
And officially no more bodies were added after that time.
Okay.
We know people have died there.
Right.
And people have probably dumped bodies there. But officially, bones were not relocated there after 1860. What about the living bodies that walk through? Well, as mentioned, 1809 was the year that folks could start touring by apportment. Appointment.
It's like, what word?
Who even knows? They could start touring by appointment.
Yeah.
So according to the official site for the Paris catacombs, quote, a register was placed at the end of the circuit where visitors could write their impressions. It was filled very rapidly because these visits had quickly become a success with both the French and foreigners. As the years passed, the ossuary became the resting place of many illustrious individuals. They list them, I don't care. During the 19th century, visiting arrangements constantly changed from total closing to monthly or quarterly openings. The Paris catacombs are now open to everyone without requiring an authorization and welcome nearly 550,000 visitors yearly.
Ugh.
Yeah. Visiting the catacombs does require tickets, and the entire tunnel system is not open to the public.
Yeah, no.
Of the estimated 300 kilometers of tunnels, only 1.5 kilometers actually houses bones and is legally visitable. Yeah. So that leaves, like, you know, like 300 kilometers of unmapped tunnels. A lot, vast portions unmapped. So, according to history.com, direct quote, since 1955, it has been illegal to enter the catacombs without permission, though explorers known as cataphiles descend into the darkness to explore the hidden world beneath Paris. A special branch of the Paris police, dubbed Cataflex by locals, patrol beneath the city streets. In 2004, officers uncovered an illegal underground cinema and bar. Wouldn't that be dope?
Hell yeah!
So you can visit a very, like,
specific,
a small segment, a specific segment, and you have to have tickets.
Yeah.
They sell out weeks in advance. So, like, if you're, like, in Paris, I'm like, maybe we go today. No, you don't.
You don't.
Go, like, next month. Another hiccup. Maybe I did mean it to refer
maybe.
To this one
maybe.
This time. Okay. So why do people visit, legally and otherwise? Well, Caitlin Doughty, one of my favorite authors and YouTube creators, puts forward the following. We no longer live in an era where the dead body is laid out in the front parlor, washed and cared for and waked by the family. We outsource our death to funeral homes and corporations, and that leaves people hungry for some kind of honest relationship with mortality. There's also, that's kind of more on, like, why there's death tourism.
Yeah.
Because that's a thing, like, dark tourism, death tourism.
Dark tourism.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, this was a very clear engagement with death that wasn't, like, look how morbid we are. We're funky. It was just, like, we put the bones here. And this is just kind of, like, how it works. Her series, not series, she has, Portugal.
Yeah.
She has a video in Portugal where she's visiting ossuaries and she's talking about like the religious beliefs around it and like cultural relativism and basically like we can't like use our current experience to judge this. And like at the time, like they very much were like, yes, put my bones in the charnel house, please. So I highly recommend watching all of her YouTube videos.
She's cool.
I went on another deep dive, and so I was like rewatching the like the Lake Superior.
Oh, that's one, a good one.
The cave diving corpses, the ones on Mount Everest, the Romanov family. That one's good. Anyway, everything she does is amazing. So, in the case of our intrepid heroes / foolhardy young adults, they go into the tunnels looking for a mythical artifact and instead have to reckon with guilt, claustrophobia, and cultists.
Yeah.
While the actual plot of As Above, So Below doesn't hinge on the Paris catacombs, there is such a wealth of history that it serves as a sort of pre-built setting with morbid mystique.
Yeah.
Having it in a real location that people experience as a liminal space can help bridge a gap between reality and fantasy. Yeah. We talk about the willing suspension of disbelief. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's a real place that exists. It's spooky. Weird things happen. Huh, that's distinctly... no, I can read. I can read really well. It's like, it's a real place that exists. It's spooky. Weird things happen. Huh, that's distinctly hell-like. Aha, they must escape hell. Is a shorter mental and emotional journey than creating an entirely new location, giving it history and death, fleshing out the cultural weight, and then making it seem realistic enough to start that willing suspension of disbelief.
Right.
So starting with like a pre-built setting, being like,
it's like already there.
Catacombs, you already have some ideas. So even if we don't have like a super in-depth knowledge of it,
right,
we have enough association that we can be like, oh, it's kind of creepy shit.
Oh, he's spooky.
And it allows them to build their own story off the back of the bones laid to rest there since 1785.
Whew.
Nerdcore.
I guess I should have guessed catacombs, but I was like, no. That's insane that they are only 248 whatever years old. Like,
yeah, it's less than three. I'm just gonna do some math again.
It makes me have a crisis.
Calculator.
I'm like, I don't.
2024. Nope. Yeah, less than 240 years old.
What the fuck?
Right? Isn't that fucking wild?
I don't know why, but they seem like they're like older than time.
Yeah, I thought they were much older. I don't really have a grasp on time. And like when I was talking about this to my partner, he was like, oh, like did they like use them during the French Revolution to like secret them their way around the city? And I was like, they were quarries and like they were unmapped. They were probably not that stable. And also, when was the French Revolution? And so I had to like Google it. And that was actually part of the story because the French Revolution happened during that time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I thought that was in like the 15. I didn't. But I don't know when things are.
Yeah. So I would be so interested to meet someone who has mapped stuff out.
Mm.
Oh, it's so cool. I was watching. I have to show you. Remind me to show you this TikTok of a guy. It's like he's playing both parts, but it's like a British guy and he's talking to someone from like Paris.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, we have this and this is what our tourists come to see. What do you guys have? And he's like, we have some catacombs that you can go explore. And he goes, oh, do you guys like hang out down there? And he goes, no, there's cannibals. Like, it's just the way he says it is like, no. I'm like, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
I saw one once too where this girl was like, you know, I used to live in Paris and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I know you think it's cool to go in the catacombs and go like find someone who knows their way around and go around. Don't do it. She's like, don't do it. Mm-mm. People will just fucking die down there all the time.
Yeah.
And it's one thing that I'm like, yeah, no, I wouldn't do.
No, there was like a group of teenagers that went down there to party and like one of the girls was drunk, got separated from the group, got lost, died.
Yeah. And people like live down there. Like,
yeah,
you like, it's
someone
not
stores their beer there for cold storage. Like, yeah. Some people live there.
Like, it's not like a haha, people live in the catacombs. I'm like, people live in the catacombs.
Yeah.
It's also, isn't it? It reminds me of like people live in the old abandoned like subway places in New York. Like,
probably
you don't.
Yeah.
Like, don't go there.
Yeah. It's also like,
it scares me.
The sheer number of physical hazards, like not even talking about
not
like,
even
humans,
like,
it's like the reason that they were filled with bones for some of it is because they were unstable.
Yeah.
So why do you think
that? So it's now, like, there's so many things. I'm like, one, there's people down there that, you know, you might not want to run into. But also, yeah. One trip, one cave, and one, you're done.
No.
It's fucked up.
You're no just, way. Like, a, like, bad battery away from getting lost in the dark.
I can't. It makes me so uncomfortable.
There's, like, a part of me, I'm not a thrill seeker.
No.
I'm not the person that's going to be like, I'm the special one that will survive. There does, like, it would be so cool to map it.
Yes, I would.
Without any of the risk, though.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. I would love to, like, take the tour just because, like, yeah. I think the historical aspect of it is really cool. And, like, I'd be interested in it. But I would not be the person who's like, should we stray off the path? I'd be like, fuck no.
No.
I was like, we are staying as close to the tour guide as you can possibly get.
It's like one of those moments where it's like, this is not my main character moment of going into the catacombs, unsupervised, and thriving and discovering something.
That ain't me.
I am so disposable.
I'll die immediately. Yeah. I'll die in the guided part. I'll trip. Like, I don't need this.
I have claustrophobia. Like, I'm not crawling through any tunnels.
Same. No fucking way.
I don't like when my feet are wet.
I don't like when my feet are wet. I just couldn't do it.
Spider webs, nothing.
Spiderwebs, I'm fine with. I love
just,
a spider.
They like, they get sticky. I just tap my face like in alarm and you're like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, sure. Are you ready for horror?
Yes.
Even though that was terrifying already. Mm. The catacombs are already a scary place. You're right. They build upon it. How beautiful.
Oh.
I have to warn you already that my notes are like sparse because I was paying attention and I got confused. That's like most of the way through. And I was
because
like,
it's a confusing film.
I was locked in, as the kids say. I don't know if they say that.
They do. And okay, good. Yeah. I get like this filtering of memes from specific people in my life. And one of them was like locked in. I was like, that is so fucking funny. And then I heard it more and more and more from like younger people.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's what they say right now. Yeah. That's, and I thought it was just like a funny Chihuahua meme, you know?
No, no. I only know because the middle school make fun of me. So my notes are sparse, but I'll go through them.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately knew that this movie was like mid-2000s just because of the dialogue. When she's like, I'm in this country legally, blah, 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 but they'd have to catch me first.
I was like, action girl intro.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, she's tough and different. I was like, sure.
Yeah.
But I do love a good found footage. That's what I wrote. So like, I think it's fun.
Found footage.
It's so fun. And I think this one does it pretty well. Like, I'm not mad about it. I think it's good. I said I cannot believe that guy stuck around for her. And then that became just a running thing throughout the whole movie. So many people stick around for Charlotte. And I'm like...
Scarlett.
And I'm like...
What'd you say?
Charlotte.
Oh. Sorry.
I knew it was a lit, but I was like...
As soon as you said it, I was like, yeah, that's right. No, wait.
That's why I was like, maybe I'll get her. Scarlett. People just stick around for her. And I'm like, I would not.
No.
If I was about to be caught or, like, killed, and she was like, 1 second, I have to find this. I go, no. And I'd be like, you can, bye.
No.
Bye.
It infuriated me. I know it's the point, like, it's her character, but the way that she treats George of just, like, totally denying his autonomy and his trauma.
And, like, I do think that is the point. I think she's kind of a dick.
Yeah.
And, like, her pursuit for, like, this one thing. And that's how her dad was. I get it. But, God, it was hard to watch sometimes. Yeah. I was like, shut the fuck up. But, yeah, I said, she's risking so many lives. She's kind of selfish. I don't know. And then it continued. And I went, I was right.
Yeah.
Flamel Stone. I said, it better be a goddamn good stone.
Mm.
At this point, I must have clicked a button because then I wrote, ayo, it's a tight 90.
It is a tight 90.
For a movie that's really kind of confusing and windy, it's they fit it in pretty well.
They do, yeah.
I'm surprised, honestly.
Well, she speed runs.
What, she does.
45 minutes. She does it in like 45 seconds.
I think that's my favorite part.
Yeah.
And she's just like, stop it. And then she just like runs through.
Punches the stone.
She will not stop punching these like cannibals or whatever they are. She's like, boom, boom. And Elmer was like, what is she doing? And I'm like, I think she's just kicking ass.
Yeah.
She's a black. We'll get to it, but it made me laugh so hard when she's just like, and she's just pounding people. It's incredible.
Oh, man.
I said, I love that she says, you need to learn French. But then his part killed me. It's when we first meet her and we know that there's like a documentary happening with Benji. And Benji's like talking to her. And then I guess a guy gets into the shot and he's like, oh, this guy's in my shot. And he's like, pardon, pardon. And then she turns around And I swear to God, maybe she says more, but I think she just goes, pardon, 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 like a million times. And then she goes, you should really learn French.
She says nothing. She's like, so many times, she's like, oh, French is so important to know. I'm just like, you said you're fluent in four languages. They should have given you French lines of dialogue to show that. Because all you're saying is, pardon, but you're like gesturing and smiling. She's like, and that.
She just kept, I'm like, girl, you have not said any fucking French. But she turned around and she's like, I got this. And you go, girl, give us nothing. She did. She gave us nothing.
Yes.
I thought you'd like that because I was like, I can't understand, speak, or do anything with French to save my life. But even that, I was like, you didn't try.
Yeah. Yeah.
It made me laugh. And then I said Jonah because it's Jonah from Superstore. My boy.
Oh, is George. That George? Okay, yeah. He looked so familiar.
We just finished watching it, like Elmarie and I, so I was pumped. I was like, Jonah's here!
I know him from something else, and I'm... Is it Ben Feldman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I
feel like he was a moody boy in, like, a crime drama. Oh, he had to be.
He probably was. He's a moody boy.
He's a moody boy, indeed.
Here's a fun question for you. What?
He was in the Kellyanne Conway story.
What?
Yeah.
What?
What the fuck?
Huh?
Anyway.
Interesting.
Okay. Someday I'll find out what he was on.
I'm very intrigued.
He was in the short Sluts, Bitches, and Whores.
I mean, I love that for him.
I do. He was in Medium. He was in 3 episodes of Medium.
There we go.
I watched the shit Never out of seen Medium. It. He was in Cloverfield.
What?
He was Travis in Cloverfield.
Oh, shit. Was he really?
Uh-huh.
My boy.
Someone out there is just screaming. Like,
I know. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, less than perfect. I remember that show.
Wow. I love this boy.
Yeah.
Except for that Kellyanne Conway thing. I don't know. Maybe he plays, maybe it's, I don't know. Who knows?
Wow, Sarah Rue and Zachary Levi. I really forgot about Sarah Rue. Sorry. I'm having a moment over here.
Here's a question for you that I didn't know if you would know.
Mm.
Is Scarlett's accent real or is she a faker? The whole time she was talking, I was like, she sounds almost too posh. But I'm like, sometimes they sound like that. I don't know.
I don't know for sure, but I felt like it was too much.
There were times where I was like, calm down.
She's from Cardiff, UK.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I had the same moment where I was like, feels like a little much, doesn't it?
It was a little much, but I was like, okay, sure, you know, whatever.
British actress.
Okay.
Born in a place that I'm not going to try.
Anyway, all right.
If she's not Australian, I have no
that's
idea.
Why I was like, maybe, you know, who knows? No. But okay, good to know. I also got so mad when she was like, oh, all I need is this, this, and this. There's a cleaning cart right here. And she, like, walks over to the cleaning cart. And she's like, I can make all of these things with these simple ingredients. And I was like, what? Like,
okay.
There just had to be a lot of things to align for that to happen. And yeah. She's like, all I need is some Windex. And I was like, shut the fuck up, Scarlett.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think at that point I was also just mad at Scarlett.
Which is fair.
So everything she did, I was like, okay.
Because all she does is ignore the comfort of people around
her. Oh my God. Whatever. And then they were looking at the map and I just wrote, look at these nerds.
Yeah.
They were like, ooh, maps. I'm sorry, I'm roasting them.
No, I get it.
But then after that, I immediately wrote, ugh, the French. So we must be doing something because I was, oh, yep, they were at the party. And you know how I feel about the French.
Yeah.
So they were there. The fact that they called Suxi the Banshee.
Yeah.
Did they ever say why?
No, everyone has like a...
They just have like a little name.
Yeah, they all have like a fake name.
I was like, all right, well, I mean, love that for her. I liked it. The party music when they're at the club is kind of ominous. And not in like a club way. It's just like, that's ominous.
Yeah.
But I kind of liked it though. This is something that I said that also Elmarie kind of felt the same way. But I'm like, the movie feels like aggressively scripted in the fact that it's trying so hard to be not scripted.
Okay, yeah.
But not like in a horrible way.
Yeah.
It was just like sometimes like when the climber is talking and he's like, oh, I'm going to do a De Niro impression and I'm going to do this and then I'll do this. It felt like it was so hard. It was like they're trying so hard to be slice of life.
Yes.
To be like, this is a real guy. See, yeah. Feel for him. Look, he knows De Niro.
They have their inside jokes. Yeah. And he's bad at rapping and everything.
Right.
It's so funny.
It felt like they were just like, we have to give them moments of real conversation. Yeah. And it wasn't like terrible. It's not like it took me out of it or anything. I would just hear it and be like, I know what you're going for, yeah. but it did just feel almost scripted. And maybe it wasn't. Maybe I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But it felt, you know, almost scripted. And
then just like voluntarily brought out that De Niro impression, I
love it.
Yeah.
If that's the case, that's fucking funny.
Yeah.
And if he just rapped for no reason, amazing. But yeah, I couldn't tell. It was just like, and then we get into the catacombs where like, obviously things are scripted because like they have to follow the story. And I'm sure some of their reactions aren't scripted. That those parts were fine. It was mostly before they go that I'm had trouble.
When they have the cultists singing in the thing, that was one of the unscripted moments.
Yeah, they had no idea they were going to be there. And they were just like, the fuck?
I'm like,
So that part's great. I like when they surprise them and stuff. I think that's cool. They surprise them in ways that weren't too mean. Like Blair Witch. Yes. Yeah. And when I read that, I was like, okay, that's a good way. Like, that's a fun way to be like, okay, we're going to surprise them, but we're not going to like put them in any kind of danger. Yeah. Thank God. I also wrote poor Benji. He just doesn't deserve this. He didn't deserve any of it.
None of it.
French cops. Ew. I was pissed.
Yeah.
But like, I think it was an interesting thing, especially because we know that that's a real thing. There are cops that are Catholics. Meant to. So I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I said, don't go in the catacombs. Don't do it. Yeah. It just. Ugh. And then Sixie was so pretty.
And they gave her, like, hair. Oh my God, just absolutely gorgeous. She I'm like, transfixed the entire time.
Yeah.
They just didn't give her much.
No, nothing.
You get way more.
She's like, hi.
From, like, Zed's De Niro thing.
Yes.
And, like, Papillon has the most, like,
death. He's, right. Of and, the like, people. We even get to see him have, like, a death that means something to him, like, sort of. We don't really get a backstory, but, like, we know it's something.
Yeah.
She just gets fucked over.
Yeah, she does.
It sucks. I liked her a lot. I thought she was interesting, and I would have loved to have like learned more about her.
Yeah,
we don't.
If they wanted to do like a prequel with Papillon and Suxi,
I would love that.
I'd watch it.
Like them exploring and losing their friend, like the mole, like and like
losing La Taupe.
Yeah, like that would have been so cool.
Yeah.
And then I said, is she in there being a freak? Kind of. Yeah. Oh, it was when she was just staring when they found the like. Resting place of Flamel, and she's just staring at the wall.
Yeah.
Being a little bit of a freak.
Yeah.
I also forgot about his brother briefly, and there was just a little boy, and I went, no one's gonna say anything about this creepy little boy? And I was like, oh, it's a vision. It's a vision.
Yeah.
We're fine. I figured out they were in hell, but, like, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
So it's probably just in the back of my head.
Yeah.
Their lighting was really cool. I didn't realize how natural it was.
Yeah.
Because in my notes I wrote, like, oh, a little bit of the descent effect, maybe? I don't know. Turns out, very much, because they didn't want any lights from anything.
Yeah.
So it's all their headlamps, mostly. Yeah. So cool.
So fucking cool.
It's so cool. And the treasure being, like, really gold and, like, giving that light off. Oh, that was so neat. I thought that was so neat. I thought you were throwing up. And I was like, she's being really chill right now.
You know how I would react to that's that why I'm like it's not chill.
Like, you're just gonna be chill right now?
No, certainly not.
Scared me. I thought the sound design was great, also spooky, otherworldly, but you know, still believable for the most part, like with their mics and like what they had. Sixy dying, so fucking horrible. Made me so mad. The makeup on her though looked,
it was
when she was dead, really too good. Like, it was good. Freak me the fuck out.
Yeah.
That's a good shot. It's not my scariest moment, so I'll say it, but the quick moment of the woman walking behind them, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
It scared the absolute shit out of Elle-Marie. And when she jumped, she was like, she like got all scared. And I didn't do much. I just went, oh. And she was like, and I went, I actually have to go back because I missed it. And she goes, you have to go back? She was so mad. She's like, wasn't enough? Wasn't that not enough? And I was
which
like, no.
Which scene is this?
Huh?
Which scene?
When Benji is the last one to
that's
come down.
That's what I was like, I think this, that one got
she
me a little bit.
She was so mad. She's like, why do we have to go back? And I was like, I missed it.
I was like, there's going to be a jump scare here. There's going to be, oh, there it is.
Yeah. And I was like, it's coming. There it is.
Yeah.
She even knew when she still got scared.
Yeah.
Benji's death, very sad as well. I think that's a fitting death for him too, though, just because he was so scared to be there to fall down. I was like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Scarlet really got everyone into a fucked up situation, which we knew from the fucking beginning, like that she was gonna just do everything she could. And then at the very end, she's like, I know how to fix it. And I'm like, everyone's already fucking dead.
Yeah.
Burning car was so cool. I loved.
Oh shit!
I have my scariest moment, so I'm gonna leave it because I think that was my. I'm gonna I think so. I didn't understand the people, the white faces and the hoods, and what were they?
The people coming out of the walls.
Yeah. Same with the singers and like the cult. Like I didn't understand what role they sort of played other than to just be scary.
Yeah, I think that like. I don't know.
I couldn't.
There were some things that, like, one of the tropes is, like, ambiguous situation.
Yeah.
And it's, like, we don't know if, like, this serves any greater purpose or it's just, like, slice of life from the catacombs.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't tell if these were, like, supposed to be the fable of, like, all people that live down there. But I'm, like, I kind of doubt it. Whereas the cult people, I kind of understood it to be, like, when he walks by and he goes, people do crazy things in the catacombs. Like, it's really scary.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the whole reason that it specifically was supposed to be there to scare Benji is because, like, maybe that stuck with Benji and he was really scared.
Yeah.
I think the whole point was that he was claustrophobic and he was upset to be down there and to have this cult also be down there. Because, like, they all see something that, like, sticks with them and scares them. So maybe that was his. I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't really kind of know about it. It's kind of hard.
Yeah. I think what my headcanon was for the, like, stone people
is
that they're, like, the bodies of people down there coming through the walls, becoming one. Because they are stone, right? Like, their faces are coming out of the wall.
Something like that,
they come out of the wall.
They're sort of like bones in stone. Like, it had to be.
Wall woman origin story.
Wall woman origin story. Yeah, they like, creeped me out. But I also wasn't that creeped out only because I kept trying to figure them out.
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah, so I was like, I want to be scared of you. But I'm also so stuck trying to figure out what you're doing here that I'm like, huh.
And then I just saw Scarlet clock two of you, so, like...
That's the thing. I'm like, she was hitting him like a fucking video game. Like, she's running through, and she's like, boom, boom. And she's just punching them, and they're like,
stiff arms on.
She does! At one point, she's using her little stone, and she's just smacking them. So I'm like, well, how dangerous can they be? Like, I kept calling them the cannibals, because I just didn't know what the fuck they were.
Well, they do take a, and they big, take a big bite chomp out of George.
So I was like, all right, maybe, I don't know. Yeah. And then I love when she backtracks. It's hard because I love when she backtracks because we get to see everything we've been through. And it's like a good reminder of like, oh, cool. Like, that sucked. You know, like a good reminder. But at the same time, it's so hard for me to suspend my disbelief of being like, that took you that long.
Yeah.
And she's just like, here I go. Like,
she like looks at the blood pit people and she's like, not today. She not again.
Literally just looks at it and goes, stop. And they're like,
I'm like, you're right, though.
You know?
Yeah, I was acting out.
She's like, you know, you're right. We're sorry, Scarlet. And she's like, yeah. I don't know. And then this part made me the most mad. Do you know what part it is? Do you want to take a sick guess on what part made me go, stop?
Is it when she's talking about how they all need to, like, rectify themselves?
No.
Is it when she says, I'm the stone?
That's close, but no.
What is it?
She fucking kisses him.
That was like, going to be my next guess. I was like, the kiss to rectify.
Sure. Why did, and so like, I assume the stone worked the first time with Sooksie because she believed it.
Yeah.
And I was explaining it to my partner earlier. I was like, okay, I think the whole reason that the stone worked the first time is because she believed that it would.
Yeah.
And then she had to go back, return it, and then continue to believe that like she could just do it.
Yeah.
Same with the arms, like in the how they went back in. She had to be like, this is the world I want to live in, so now you're not part of it.
Yeah.
I get it. I think that's a really cool concept. But did it have to be a kiss? That just made me mad.
It made me mad,
like,
too.
What is this, some Sleeping Beauty bullshit?
That was one of my notes from the very first time we watched it. Like, I don't have my actual notes.
I don't either, but I know that it made me mad.
But I know that I said, like, oh, a fucking course we need a kiss right now.
It would have been more effective if she had just like whispered into his like ear or something and just been like, I believe it to be so and so it is, or something like that.
Or like,
and then
put your forehead against
his
or like something. But like the I hate when like romance
some
is
kind of comment of being like, you're not gonna die today or something because I believe it, you know, something. Yeah. But no, she was just like, kiss, and then he's like, I'm alive.
Yeah. My neck is back.
Yeah, and I was like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I was done.
Yeah.
But I liked the movie. I just hated that.
Yeah.
And I love the shot of them jumping back.
Yeah.
When I think one of my favorite shots and actions is when they're pushing the manhole and they're trying to get out. are pushing or pull. They're doing something.
They push it because they were trying to pull it, yes, and nothing happens. And then she pushes, like, in frustration. Yes. He's like, wait, what'd you do? And she's like, I push.
And I thought that was so cool because, yeah, I was like, ah, yes, it's the opposite of what, like, you think is going to happen. Yeah. They push it and, like, they have to pull and then they get out. And all of a sudden it's just this flip.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. I was like, yeah, it follows, like, what they've been doing and,
yeah,
it's neat. Yeah, that was my last note, is that I just really liked that. I think the effects of this movie are great.
Yeah.
The set, obviously, now that I know it's the fucking catacombs.
God damn.
I thought the makeup and everything was really effective.
Yeah.
The lighting is obviously incredible. It's so, so realistic. And it's so, I don't know, hard to do. So I applaud it.
Yeah.
Just some issues with dialogue. And, like, even the plot. I think the plot's really interesting. And I like, yeah, the story. And I think, even though she pisses me off, Scarlett is an interesting character, yeah, because I'm like, the pursuit of knowledge over, yeah, everything else is interesting to watch.
She's like a dynamic character.
Yeah.
She pisses me off.
Characters piss you off. So, yeah, I'm like, it's fair. And, yeah, I'm not, you know, mad. But there's just a few dialogue moments and a few moments of, like, the kiss and this and that where I'm like, feels like you could have just done it in a different way.
Yeah.
And I would have had more fun.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts.
My first note is found footage, starting with footage of feet. I'm like, footage?
Show us them feet.
Footage.
That took me a
minute. Found footage, found feet.
Beautiful.
That was my first note.
I like that.
And then we get a bunch of, like, I call it an info dump. That's not exactly what it is. Sorry, my elbow really needed to pop.
I get it.
Oop, there it is.
Gotcha.
So it's like the exposition.
Yeah.
Where it's like, your father chased it to madness. And you're just like, are you saying, yeah, that because he died this way? And, like,
they have to find the easiest way to, like,
yeah,
here's everything.
And so there are a lot of those, yeah, where, like, in the first, like, 10 minutes, you get a lot of background through her, like, conversations with people. She's like, don't say you're still mad about Turk. And he's like,
yes,
a literal Turkish prison. Like, you get these things and, like,
yeah,
her relationships through this. Camera abuse trope. I just, like, every now and then I call out tropes.
Yeah.
It's like I've, you know, done, like, 100
almost, some, yeah, tropes.
Yeah. We get the background through the conceit. So, like, this is when she's being interviewed, when she does her amazing French.
Yes.
And Benji's interviewing her, and, yeah, she, like, she is providing the background, but, yeah, it's still consistent with the conceit of the narrative, which is, this is a documentary.
Right.
This is found footage. So, like, of course, it's a documentary.
We need the background. We need the
introduction.
Yeah.
I love George.
I know. Because he, like, I love George.
Breaks into old places to fix things.
He's such a little cutie.
He's such a sweetie.
His little glasses.
Yeah. And then another trope, spaghetti incident. This is when he references Turkey.
Yeah.
And so it's like one of those things, like, you're not going to talk about the spaghetti, are you? Like, that trope.
Right.
And then when he's reading another language, I think it might have been Aramaic, it might have been a different one, but it rhymes in English when he reads it.
Stop it.
And I'm just like, huh,
that's crazy. That's wild. It fits like that.
Yeah. There's a trope for it. I don't remember. It's in my list later.
Yeah.
Let's see. Something about Papillon. Pap. And how he leaves.
Oh,
like,
the Pap.
We'll get to that. one of my favorite moments.
Yeah.
It's like when they're early on,
yeah,
in the tunnel, and she's like, no, like, look at the map. This is the more direct route. And he's, uh-huh, like, we're not going down. They're just like, no, but look. And he's like, this is not the catacombs. This map, yeah, is not the catacombs. And he's like, look at the map and tell me which ones are filled with water, which ones have collapsed.
I do love that.
Which ones are evil.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that was such a good moment. I'm just like, oh, yeah? Tell me then. And I'm like, yeah, you tell him.
Yeah.
Like,
and, like, the three part of, like, filled with water, collapsed, evil. Like, it was, like, formulaic and, yeah, beautiful.
So good.
You can get me with that, and I love it. I forgot. So when they're doing their forearm crawling.
Yeah.
Every time I, like, see a movie with, like, a badass heroine or, like, someone that's like, man, what workout regimen would you be able to make based on this? And I'm, like, forearm crawling across my basement.
Get some bones.
Yeah, just a few bones. Let's see, Benji getting stuck.
Oh, man.
They see his pap smear on the wall.
They do!
Because he tags things with pap.
Yeah.
And it's a very short leap to a pap smear.
It is.
And they see his pap smear, and he denies it.
He's like, uh-uh, that ain't me.
No. Let's see. The Goddamn Piano. Scarlet Falling the Ringing. La Taupe. Okay. Did La Taupe look like George?
No. I thought La Taupe looked a little scary.
I mean,
not like he's... George. Show okay, me La Taupe.
Oh, sorry. When I Google La Taupe, it is just moles. Okay, so yeah, like so from George. This angle, his eyes are a little bugged.
No.
But I don't.
Hold on. Like where?
From that angle, okay. Doesn't no. he?
Please, I'm begging. Oh, there, yeah, no, that one's perfect.
I thought it looked a little bit like him. They could be brothers.
I'm having a breakdown. You could have said any other character and I would have been like, yeah, maybe.
I put this in my notes because I thought you'd back me up.
Y'all look it up and tell me.
When he's first there, he's like looking down most of the time and then like he's like kind of hiding on the corner. He's poorly lit. I'm like, uh-huh. That kind of looks like George.
He looked like a scary caveman.
A scary version of George.
No!
George, if he went into the dark and didn't come back.
He looked like a French man that would live inside the catacombs and call himself the mole.
And George doesn't look like that?
No! Out of all the characters! I thought for sure you were going to say somebody that we knew that wasn't in this movie. And then you're like, you know, like George. And I was like...
I'm honestly a tiny bit surprised that you don't even kind of see it.
I know that usually I like to be on your side, and I love to give you the benefit of the doubt. You try so hard to be on my side. A lot of times, I'm like, you know what? I do see that. I gotta.
A skinny, dark-haired man.
He's so tall. George is like.
I wasn't looking at them on the same level.
I have to cough now. You pulled it out of me.
Would you like any?
What are you doing? Oh God. Okay. Yeah, no, I do. I want it. Oh, God. Cheers to you not knowing what anyone looks like.
I simply refuse to identify a man.
Well, now it's fair. Now I'm on your side.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, remember to you? White men looking the same.
I'm not agreeing to that, but...
What would you like to dedicate it to?
Agreeing to disagree.
Thank you for trying to support me.
I know.
Really did try.
I did. Listen, I love you. I'm on your side most of the time. This one, though?
Remember the Black Coat's daughter?
Oh, my God. Was that me or you fucking up? And me, wasn't it?
I couldn't tell the three women apart. Ingenues.
You couldn't tell the three women apart, and I had no idea they were supposed to be the same woman. So I'm watching it going... It's so cool that that character did that, and then this character did something so similar. And you were like, well, they're because they're the same woman. And I was like, right? And you were like, no, like, they are. And I was like, in here. Like,
I'm like, isn't it funny that it's just one actress moving around really fast?
We both could not with that movie.
Simply not. The other day,
oh, fuck. I took a screenshot of
something on Instagram and I sent it to Emily and I was like, I need you to tell me if this is Jake Gyllenhaal. This is not a joke. I'm trying to get better. And she's like, it is. It is him. You're doing good.
You are improving.
Thank you.
This is just a minor set.
I'm sorry. I'm going to find the perfect angle.
Okay. Okay, listen. I want you to find your perfect angle, and I want you to post a picture of George and him on our Instagram and say, do they look alike? And I want, we'll take a poll.
Are they identical or fraternal? You decide.
I'm just saying. I just, you know what, though? I feel like people are going to be like, oh my God, Kate, yes, they totally do. Nikki's wrong.
People are going to drag my ass.
You're going to drag both of us somehow. Somehow they'll find a way.
So, I was gonna say love finds a way. That's not what I was looking for. Life finds a way.
I can't.
Anyway, Pap drops a stone.
We're off the rails.
Oh, sure God. Are. Oh my God. So, what is this note? So I was typing on my phone.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really bad at typing on my phone.
Yeah, me too.
I'm much better with a keyboard.
Yeah.
And so my phone keeps like autocorrecting things. And so I have like, I know where I am.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I was trying to say with this autocorrect. So this is when they're rappelling down. Yep. George gets stuck. Benji's clip breaks. George does him a kindness, embraces his fall with his body.
Love that for him.
They can't hear anything till they just hear like the roaring of the Seth with the other ugly noises and screeching. What is the Seth?
Seth.
Well, you know, obviously just Seth.
And they're going,
ah. He's like, rawr. He's like a little and they're emo like, girl Seth, from the Aughts.
Shut up.
Seth.
I don't know.
They hear just like the roaring of the Seth with the other unholy noises.
I thought it was like almost like the caves or the waterfall, like something.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a hard one. I don't know what Seth could be.
I mean, maybe I'll find out later.
Seth.
A young boy for a few frames. Like, it's... I had to take it back because I was like, I think I saw a young child there.
Yep, yep,
yep. Scared me shitless. Yes. Very close to my scariest moment. Very close to my scariest moment. Time for puzzle solvers to save the day.
Puzzles!
I'm not going to crawl through tunnels, but give me a fucking puzzle.
That was so fun. I was like, Kate's going to love this.
I do. Oh, my God. Ptolemaic hinge. So it's really great how she's like, you have to pull the right stone from the exact right place or the ceiling will collapse. And then like one room later, she's like, there's a loose stone. And she just yanks it out. And I'm like, woo! Girl, there was a Ptolemaic hinge in play a room ago. Why are you being so cavalier with the stones?
She's the worst.
And then the meme, Scarlet, no, Scarlet, yes.
She just doesn't listen to anybody. It's incredible. She doesn't.
Let's see. I have Latope in the corner. Is he dry? Because everyone went.
Yeah.
Everyone swam to get into the room.
And he was like, I made it here my other way.
But I also don't trust my eyes anymore since he apparently doesn't look like George.
I'm
Maybe
sorry.
He was soaking wet. He might have been.
I want to pee on your sock.
Let's see. They use the stone to heal Suxi. Mm-hmm. She breaks a hole in the floor. Abandon hope. Mirror version. Pap asks if they're dead, which is honestly a great question.
Yeah, honestly, so fair.
Very fair. He says, I'm like, that's a good question.
Yeah. You know what? Good question, bud.
Yeah. Suxi's death. Oh,
no. So bad. That one made me so sad because it's such a fucked up one. Everyone else had something that they like. I mean, I guess that's hers. I mean, it's like
her and Benji, their deaths were the hardest.
Yeah.
Because Benji, like, this was almost my scariest moment. When someone just like falls and it's like so fast and it's just like 1 second later they're gone.
Yeah.
That is like so jarring and shocking and horrifying to me.
And
Suxi has a very similar thing where it's like a few head slams and she's just gone.
That's it. And it sucked. And like you could see her head and it like upset me.
Yeah.
Head stuff. It's a thing. I can't do it. Like, and they did too good of a job with the makeup on that one. And I was like, you know?
Yeah. So that one was fucking rough.
Yeah.
This is not what I was trying to type, but it is what I typed. Loud creeping.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be loud creaking.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, creeping. Benji hears a baby crying. So this is where I was kind of confused.
Yeah.
Because Zed was the one that had the child that he has never met, that he denies as his. We don't know what Benji feels guilty about.
No.
So we just get, like, a woman with a baby, I think?
I got confused because I thought that was supposed to be the woman from the cult in the beginning singing.
Maybe.
But I don't know if it was. When she walked by, it's the exact same way that she walked by at the club.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, it's probably that same woman. And then my thought was maybe it was Benji's fear just from being down there and from seeing her in the beginning. But the baby confused me.
Yeah. And then, so, like, with Suxi and Latope, it could be, like, you get more of Latope, like, confronting Papillon about, like, you never came to look for
me.
You don't really get him accusing Suxi as much, but maybe that's her guilt. Like, maybe that's what she feels guilty about.
Yeah.
So, like, her death by Latope makes more sense than Benji's.
Right, because she didn't help either, but, like, only Papillon's getting, like, the guilt from it. And then we find out that's not even his thing, you know? And I wonder if maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was trying to get to, what's his name? The one with the baby.
Zed.
And maybe it was Zed. Maybe it was supposed to. But then they were like, well, the fastest way is I can get Benji down there. And then, I don't know.
No
that
idea.
Part confused me because we don't know Benji's
We don't know Benji's story.
We don't know Benji's story.
We didn't get much for Benji.
Which is such a bummer.
And they, like, so narrowly avoided Black Man Dies First by killing Sooksy. But I was like, but you didn't give either of them much, like,
nothing. Character we knew so little about them, which sucked.
Yeah.
Because I liked both of them a lot.
Maybe my two favorite characters.
They were, yeah, like, I love George, but I liked Papillon. I thought he was good, but I loved those two.
Yeah. It's like, Benji is someone that I just want to protect.
Yes.
And then Papillon, incredible character.
I loved him.
I think he was perfect as a character.
Yeah.
For a while, I wasn't sure Zed was still alive because he just kind of blends into the background.
He kind of just blends in, and then he survives, and you're like, I guess.
And then there was a moment where I was like, well, I know that so-and-so and so-and-so are dead, so the only camera this could be is Zed.
Is Zed.
He must be alive.
Yeah. You had to kind of narrow it down and then go, oh,
yeah. Let's see. Screams echoing. Scarlet goes off, of course. A burning car. This one's for Pap.
Yep.
Okay, cross. So then this is my, like, he died because he wouldn't take responsibility. Was Sooksy supposed to be responsible for that taupe? Not sure.
Right.
Cloaked figure, near-death confession, thrown in an empty room, faces pressing out of the stone. The wall faces are full of wall people. They take a bite out of George.
You know how it goes.
Yeah. Tries the stone, doesn't work. She's going to do a speed run of what took a solid 45
really
minutes
does.
The first time.
She's like, see ya.
She just knocks over that stone figure.
So fucking funny.
Wouldn't it suck to get all the way back to the room and you realize you forgot the stone?
Oh, and so, like, my God.
When you're first running, they're, like, calling you back and you think they're trying to, like, convince you not to go. But really, it's like, you left your rock. And she's like,
oh, shit.
She's like, I'm going to do it. You can't stop me. They're like, no way.
We're not trying to stop you.
No, take your rock.
Oh my god.
So after she, like, sees her father's corpse, like, pulls the head off, but it's her, the floor mouths start to take little tentative nibbles.
Oh yeah.
I was like, I wasn't ready for the floor mouths.
Like, okay, sure.
Okay, like, I guess. I was the hidden stone the whole time.
She, like, looks in the little mirror and she's like, I'm the stone. And I'm like, sure.
And I just had this, like, emoji in my head, the blushing face, like I was the hidden stone.
She's like, me?
Me? And then she Power of the Minds her way through.
She's like, no more! I'm the stone! And everyone's like, I guess.
Yeah. She kisses him healed.
Oh, God. And then they all kind of just, peace out.
And then my last two notes are group hug.
Group hug.
And then Zed hands her the camera, walks away into the night, and she's like, I wasn't done with the hug. So she just turns to George and she's like, more hug.
Even her hug made me mad. Yeah. They have a group hug, right? And Zed's just like, bye. Like, I never want to do this again. And then she, like, walks over to George and she's like, more hug. Yeah. And I'm like, you caused all this. And she goes, I'm traumatized. I'm
like, She's like, I need more hug.
I was like, I want to push you back down. Yeah. Like, boop.
If that manhole cover wasn't so heavy, down you go, Scarlet.
George, if you had done it, I would have been like,
I would have understood. Oh, Lordy.
Yeah.
So those are my notes.
Beautiful.
Scariest moment.
I know mine.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Surprisingly, so originally I thought it was going to be Benji getting stuck the first time, just because I don't like claustrophobic things. They freak me out.
Yeah.
And then I was so sure it was going to be Sooksy's death, because I was like, I really didn't like that. It freaked me out. And then this one part, for some reason, it's just like that fucking bear in Annihilation. It just stuck with me.
Yeah.
When Papillon is walking towards the car, and then the whole thing goes and, like, sucks into the ground, and then the only thing left are his 2 feet just sticking straight up in the air, and it's like, I don't know why, man, but it fucked me up bad.
That was my scariest moment.
No, really?
Yeah, because it's like suddenly, like, his legs are coming out of solid fucking ground.
It freaked me out.
Yeah.
And they're just there, and, like, I don't know,
I can't do anything.
I went back and watched it twice, and I was like,
because, like, you see reality fold in on itself, and then his legs are sticking up out of the ground. It's not like a sand pit. They pull him out. It's like, that's the ground.
It fucked me up bad.
Yeah.
Just because I was like, nothing you can do.
Nothing.
And also, it's kind of the wildest thing I feel like they've seen so far. Yeah. It's just have this whole thing just suck into the reality, and then his legs are there. And I liked him, and it just hurt. I was like, oh, Papillon, like.
That.
Ugh. It sucked. Yeah.
And you also imagine that it's not going to let him go easy, where it's like, he suffocates, you know? That's what you have to assume happens. Ugh.
Bad.
I read a note. I didn't, like, check a secondary source, yeah. but that they actually did have a burning car with an actor in it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Again, I didn't check.
I don't know how they get stuff down there. I don't know. It's impressive.
I don't know if they built it.
Probably.
joking. I don't know. Maybe they did.
Maybe.
Fuck if I know. So scariest moments. Okay, we had the
yeah,
same one.
Same yeah. one. Wow. Yeah. That's cool. I'm glad.
Are you
we
ready
the same
for
one.
Tropes?
I'm so ready.
I cut across you, sorry.
No, I'm ready.
Action girl.
Yeah.
Because she says in the beginning, she's like, oh, like.
You know, to catch me.
yeah. I have 2 PhDs and a master's degree, and I speak 4 languages and then 2 dead ones. I'm a black belt in Krav Maga.
Yeah, girl. We saw you speak French.
yeah. Pardon, pardon.
Pardon, pardon.
yeah. So she's an action girl. She's also an adventurer archaeologist.
Yeah.
Which we get the whole Iran thing, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. Ambiguous situation. Mm-hmm. A few of those. Bittersweet ending.
Yeah.
Half the team died.
Yeah. It's
but
like.
They lived.
Yay, but also, God.
yeah. Chekhov's gun and Chekhov's skill. So things that are, like, said and come up later. So, like, she's a black belt in Krav Maga. She
right.
punches the shit out of those people. yeah. Clap your hands if you believe. Tinkerbell's her way through the hell, so.
she really does.
Yeah, and I love that for her. Let's see. Door to the before. So the door to before is basically, like... They are like, we're not going down that tunnel. That tunnel's evil. She's
right.
like, fuck you, but whatever. They go through and they come out and they're
and it's
at,
still there,
at
yeah.
door. And they're like, that's not, this isn't here. This isn't here. And she's like,
she's already digging the rocks out. She's like, fuck you guys.
Yeah. Dwindling party.
Yeah.
So usually they start getting picked off like way earlier.
Yeah.
They last a long time.
Long time, actually.
Yeah. It's not until they set off the trap.
Right.
That
it's very spooky.
Yeah. yeah. Did you just punch out Cthulhu? yeah. Ethereal choir.
Beautiful.
The cultists. So, huh. This was one that I saw in the notes. Okay. So maybe you'll understand me slightly better now. Maybe you won't. I don't fucking know. Okay. So evil twin.
Yeah.
Is one of the tropes. And it says La Taupe and the cultist woman. And I was like,
okay.
Is the cultist woman supposed to kind of look like an emaciated Scarlet or Suxi?
Oh.
And is La Taupe supposed to look like an emaciated Mole Man George?
No.
I want to be on your side.
I know.
But I don't
Maybe.
Understand what they mean by
Maybe.
Evil twin in this case, you know?
Maybe, I mean, Suxi, I guess that could be Scarlet, that woman, in a
I
way.
Don't know. I mean, also, people
Maybe
are just,
it's George.
Sometimes people are actually just wrong on the tropes, too. So so that was one that I'm just like, I don't actually know about that.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing.
Uh-huh.
Of course. First person perspective.
Uh-huh.
Or, like, first camera perspective. Freeze frame bonus. There are several of those where we see, like, the woman with the baby.
Oh,
I think,
right.
Like, the background or something. And then we see, like, the child.
Yeah.
From bad to worse.
Yeah.
Healing factor.
Oh, yeah.
After she learns where the true philosopher's stone is, she can heal.
It's me.
Yeah. And then we have Hell and Hellgate.
Yeah.
Both. Homage. So this one I didn't do any digging into because I was like, I could go down quite the rabbit hole. but according to TVTropes.org, they said the French expert at slipping into and out of the forbidden catacombs is nicknamed Papillon, likely a reference to Papillon, the French criminal who escapes the inescapable Devil's Island.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
Fuck if I know. jump scare.
Yeah.
Karmic death.
Mm-hmm.
Losing a shoe in the struggle. The blood pit takes her shoes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's barefoot.
She
I never forgot.
Gets them back. Yeah. Meaningful name.
Mm-hmm.
So La Taupe is the mole.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just, like, reading this. I'm like, okay, maybe. Never trust a trailer. So I think that, like, there are two things where one of them is, like, trailers always spoil.
Mm-hmm.
And never trust a trailer.
Right.
And in one of them, it makes you think that someone that survives dies.
Yeah.
And then the other one, it's like, haha, you see, like, the worst thing happen to this person ever in the trailer.
Right.
So it kind of does a twofer.
Interesting.
Not so final confession. George has this.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But then he lives. So,
yeah.
Off-screen teleportation. La Taupe moves around way more than he should.
He's fucked up.
Yeah, only known by their nickname. So all of the cataphiles have,
oh yeah,
like
names.
Their names,
mm-hmm.
But not actually their names. Why?
You know, their names.
Every now and then, I hear myself talking. I'm like, please stop.
That was me editing the last episode. I was like, hey, no. Shut up.
No,
I was like, God, you talk a lot.
No, don't take any of it back. Opposite day, the second half of the catacombs.
Oh yeah.
Outrun the fireball? Oh, that's when she's escaping the bombs being...
That's it, yeah.
Also, I was kind of confused. I wasn't going to bring it up, but maybe I will now.
Yeah.
Where, so she's like, okay, they're going to demolish these things at sundown.
Mm-hmm.
She gets into the area through like a hole in someone's home.
Yeah.
And as the bombs, or maybe it's not bombs, but like it's as something's detonating, she is running, escaping out, and then she crawls into someone's home, the same one that she went in. But how is their home... when she was so close
that
to
whole
the structure
part I was
underneath.
Struggling to understand. I was like, I don't quite know where you were that like I don't get it.
Yeah, philosopher's stone. Mm-hmm. It's a trope because it's like one of those, you know, like alchemy
right stone.
Maybe someday we'll talk about alchemy.
It's just so interesting.
Point of no return happens four times. So the passage of bones, it caves in and they're like,
guess we're here now.
Yeah. And then they enter the tunnel that no one comes out
right.
of. When there's a cave-in in the treasure room.
Yeah.
And then there's a tunnel with a message above the gates of hell, which closes behind them. So they return from a lot of points of no return.
Four times.
Yeah. So this is... Sorry, I'm still, like, looking. I don't understand. Sorry, okay, I think I understand now what they mean by evil twin, and it's that, okay, so polar opposite twins, this is a direct quote from TVTropes.org, mm-hmm. thank you, the first La Taupe and the second, so they're seeing them as different La Taupes. Okay. One of them is actually guiding them, and one of them is like, fuck
oh,
you.
That makes sense.
I think it's the same La Taupe,
yeah.
Like, in terms of what we see, I don't think we ever see the original.
No.
But, and then they're like, the first calls his woman, and then the second, harmless, and then not.
Yeah.
And then we do have the first mysterious corpse, not decayed, and then decayed.
Right.
That one I saw. And then, so in one of them, like, the body is decorating the walls of the first half of the catacombs. They're like, dead and harmless, mm-hmm. and then they are alive and malevolent.
They're like, hey!
Hey, we're here to party! So I think that's why, because I was doing tropes before I watched it again.
That makes sense.
And I was like, how is La Taupe a twin?
I get it now, yeah.
Avec qui?
Like, huh?
With who? Okay. Police are useless.
Yeah.
Police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
Prophecies rhyme all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's when, like, they're reading in, like, Aramaic or some shit, and it rhymes in English?
And you're like, sure. Cool. Sure.
Sure. Of course it does. Religious horror.
Oh, yeah.
Riddle for the ages. Lots of riddles.
So many fucking riddles.
Yeah. To hell and back.
Yeah.
Too dumb to live. So they gave this one to Suxi, which makes me sad because
it's not fair.
It's not fair because she was just being kind.
She's just kind.
Yeah. They said that, like, okay, well, there was a bit of a jump scare when you approached him the first time. So, like, why the fuck did you try again? Because you're a person that cares
about
people.
That's your friend.
And you used to know him. So how are you supposed to know you're kind of almost in hell? She didn't deserve that.
No.
I don't think she was too dumb to live.
No. Uh-uh.
And then this one, because I don't know a ton about alchemy, I don't know if this is right or not, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Yeah.
Viewers are geniuses. Quote, the movie is enjoyable on its own terms, but really understanding it involves knowing more about classical alchemy and magic than is explained in the movie.
Okay. Apparently a bunch of it is true though, because you know Elle Marie, her favorite thing to do is to deep dive into films. And she was deep diving into this one as we were watching it. And she goes, oh, that's true. Oh, that's true. That's real. That's real. So a lot of it is like actual things. And if you like look into it, So they did their research, I think, for this a little bit.
I mean,
at least enough.
If you're going to have like a horror, like fantastical thing, alchemy is kind of perfect for that.
Yeah.
Because it has such a rich recorded history because everyone's like, we're going to turn whatever into gold.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
So,
and
I...
Because it's, maybe it's like the recency bias, or maybe it's just because Nancy Drew lives in my soul for forever. There is an alchemy mystery in one of the Nancy Drews. Yeah.
We should play that one next.
Okay.
Okay.
I've already played it, but I obviously don't remember shit.
Yeah, just hide. So. Don't tell me anything. It's fine.
Yeah. Of course.
That'd be good.
Yeah. And then there's also, there's one more, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I haven't read The Divine Comedy.
Okay.
But they said it's more or less a found footage version of it.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's ironic punishment and the only way to escape is to go down. But the Divine Comedy is about, like, Dante Alighieri is like, you are my enemies, so this is how you'll be punished in the afterlife. Right. Like, there are these circles of hell and whatever. I haven't read the Divine Comedy.
I haven't either.
And I don't know how close it hews to that, so yeah. It's like, maybe.
So maybe. Maybe. That's a maybe one.
Entirely possible.
Who knows?
So those are my tropes.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. I like that. How are we going to rate? Well, you said you had one as a potential. What's your potential?
Let me, Luke.
Okay. Because the only one I had was like, I don't want to say Pat Spears, but.
Well.
I mean.
Yeah, my it could be.
It was that.
My, it was Floor Mouths.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think they were nearly iconic for you. Because for me, I couldn't get over the Floor Mouths. I was like tripping on them.
Here's the footages.
Found footage finds feet.
twins. Because everyone, this was just a total twin.
I can sense that I'm being mocked.
Which one's the real George?
Let's fucking go with Pap Smears.
Pap Smears, fuck it, who cares?
If it's twins or Pap Smears, I'm going Pap Smears.
The whole saying.
Yeah, it's a classic. Baker's Dozen, Pap Smears.
Twins, you know. Okay, I think I know mine.
I think I know mine.
I kind of held it up already, but yeah.
All right, one,
you ready?
Two. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You want to go first?
Yeah.
Okay.
I give it 3.5. Three and a half pap smears.
To have half a pap smear.
I think the movie's really good. It's like fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's a tight 90, which is beautiful. I love beautiful.
Tight 90.
Especially because a movie that's this convoluted, you would expect it to be longer. But they pack a lot in a short time. Yeah. And I think it's impressive. My only qualms were really just that, like, there were a few moments that just took me out of the action. Yeah. Like, the kiss and... It's just a few things that Scarlett does and, like, a few lines that they say where I'm like, it could be just a little better.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very close to going to 4. Like, yeah. I love watching it still.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Hell House in a way where I'm like, I always see something new. Or like, it's just interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Elmarie doesn't like horror films, and she really liked it. Like, she was like, oh, I had fun with that. Yeah. And I was like, I think it's a movie that a lot of people could watch. Because it has that historical aspect of, like, the catacombs are already interesting.
Yeah.
They're already spooky. So, like, you don't have to explain too much about that. And if you're interested in that, it could be, like, a fun thing. So, 3.5. I think it's really fun.
Yeah.
I like this one.
Yeah. So, I gave it 4 pap smears.
Yeah.
Because, yes, it's formulaic. Yes, they do, like, background, like, info dumps.
Yeah.
I keep looking. I already said the word earlier, and I already forgot it. It's the, like, introduction. It's the exposition.
Exposition. Yeah. I was like, what am I trying to think of?
I'll never remember. So, I love that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I love when it's, like, someone that gets through because they know a lot of things.
Yeah.
We don't always live that long. But, like, just having sometimes collections of facts.
It's great.
When they're going back and forth between, like, okay, the number of planets.
That was
and
fun. Like, I liked that.
Was it before or after Copernicus? Oh, and remember, they considered the sun was also a planet. And, like, all these things.
That was
it's
really
like,
fun.
The amount of knowledge that you need to align in that moment, it was so fun.
I like it when nerds make it.
I love it when nerds make it. It gives me hope.
It does.
But, no, I just, even when something is formulaic, I can still get a lot of enjoyment out of it.
Yeah.
I love found footage.
Yeah.
And when it feels like when you justify the camera being in a place and the movement of the camera, you have to do that.
And it's hard.
Yeah. So. And it's also hard to give it variety when you do it. And they do that several times.
Yeah.
Like, maybe there could be more, but, like, you do jump around between certain people's footage. Sometimes the camera is on the ground. So, like, you have Benji going around and, like, turning people's cameras on. So you do get variety.
Now I want to do 4 because now I remember the lighting is all, like, from their headlamps and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, that's really good, though.
Listen, I'm not going to stop you from giving another half pap smear.
I'm going to go to 4.
Okay.
One, half another, full pap smear.
Full pap smear. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. A full 4.
Full 4.
So I just, it's an enjoyable fucking film.
Yeah.
And it's like the first time I was watching it trying to like predict and understand.
Right.
And this time when I was like, I was freed from that burden.
I really just was like, let's take it in.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think the pacing is beautiful. We love a tight 90.
The fact that they fit so much in is really good.
Yeah. And there was a lot of accurate information about the Paris Catacombs.
That's
obviously
cool.
They take some like creative liberties because you have to.
But there's a lot of accurate information within, like alchemy as well.
Yeah, and the Rue de l'Enfer, that was what sank into the ground. Like, that is what
true.
Happened.
And that's cool. It's cool
shit. So I really enjoy this movie, and I think it's one that you can show other people, even if they're not, like, super into horror.
They still enjoy it.
It's just fun to watch.
Yeah.
So that's why I give it 4 pap smears.
Yeah, I'm giving it 4, too, because I forgot about the lighting and also the fact that it's very historically accurate for the most part. Like, taking something historical, keeping as much accuracy as you can, but then throwing in, like, some wild shit is kind of fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Oh, so that's 8 pap smears.
That's 8 paps, a lot of pap smears.
Which will get you to, like, age 30.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it'll get you further.
Yeah, yeah.
Like every 3 years?
Yeah.
It'll get you like 40.
Yeah, you got this. We're fine.
I certainly didn't do any math. I just threw out a number.
I won't do math.
I refuse. But that's 8 pap smears for As Above, So Below.
Good stuff.
Thank you, patrons.
Thanks, patrons. This is fun.
I love this.
This is
a
good throwback because it was our little teaser trailer, and it was fun to watch and actually talk about it now that we've talked about so many movies. Because when we first did our notes, we were just like, ooh, yay! Like, we had no idea.
I had, like, notes about trumpets or something.
Yeah, right?
I just remember, like, editing my audio file and being like, and the trumpets! And I was like, what the fuck are you talking
and
about?
And now we watch it and we're like, yes. Yeah. Like, boy, the times have changed.
Yeah. But I made a pap smear joke last time.
So things don't change that much.
They don't change that much.
Incredible.
Oh. Does that wrap up our discussion? Yeah. Okay. So that's our discussion of As Above, So Below. The patron pick.
Good job.
Thank you. Yeah. That was not a thank you of you saying judge me. It was both. Thank you to the patrons. Thank you, the patrons. if you enjoyed your time with us, we would really appreciate it if you'd rate and review on Apple Podcasts. That helps other people find us. And we really just love reading
it's
what you have
to
say.
It's so nice.
Yeah. The other day I saw that we had ratings on Spotify. And Spotify. It was so sweet.
Thank you.
I don't think you can leave like comments on those.
I don't know.
I certainly did not find a way to read them. But
you did, thanks. Yeah.
Then we love it. And I read every word and I have it tattooed on my arm.
All of them,
But no, like anywhere you rate and review is amazing. And if you just tell your friends, that's awesome too.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. You can follow us on Instagram at Just Cool With It, and every week we'll post the movies of the week, no context quotes, that sort of thing.
Hell yeah.
And then you can check our extended show notes on our website, justcoolwithapod.com. I'm about halfway through updating the website. It takes a wee bit. you could even take a look at our Patreon at patreon.com/justcoolwithit. And obviously, said this like 2 minutes ago, less than, this was a patron pick. Patrons get to choose.
You guys know this was a patron pick?
Did you guys know? But no, they get to choose a movie a month. And this time we let chaos reign.
Yeah.
And they choose a number between 1 and 100.
I love that. Sometimes it's like a fun theme.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we're like, just choose a number and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
And this one was really good. This was a good lineup.
Yeah, it was.
Which is nice because then we get to go through and we get to like take past patron picks that didn't get picked and we like to use them. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah. So we changed it up, but this time was a chaos round, and it was so much joy.
A good choice.
We'd like to take this opportunity to thank our patrons. Kim, Kelly, Nihar, Rachel, Kelsey, Sula, Tim, Beth, Katie, Morgan, Brady, Kenny, Janice, Brian, Jess, Ada, Dalton, Andrew, and Olivia.
Woo! I cannot wait for the day that we film this and people can finally see my dance.
Your little dance.
I do a little dance every time. And all the times that I've not done it, Kate has been like, oh, I messed up. And I'm like, it's because I wasn't dancing.
It's because you weren't dancing.
I have to get the shoulders.
As long as I see your shoulders wiggling in
like
the
background,
of my eye,
yeah.
I'm like, I
it gets
can
the
do
pace,
this.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, someday we'll film it. And,
it'll be great.
Yeah,
and
love
they'll get to see me gesticulating wildly, hitting my mic.
We do a lot of weird shit, so hopefully.
I can't sit still, and I do a lot
I like roll around in this chair, like it's like riding a mechanical bull. Like I'm over here, like woo!
I'm just like tippy tapping my fingers.
Yeah,
on everything.
Both of us are not good at sitting still, so that'll be fun.
Hey. The intro and outro music was created by Anthony Rockzella. The cover art is by our very own Bull Ryden, Nikki Solomon.
I've been in hell the whole time. I tried to put my arm on the table and I was like, ah! And I missed.
I just saw like a theatrical,
like,
oh.
Like it really looked like I was taking a bow. Yeah. I fell. So, woohoo! Tip
hats
my cap.
Off to you, Satan.
M'lady?
My Satan?
I was just about to go, my demon?
The demon. footage found feet.